Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Austin. Austin, woo!
Warning.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
This is an after-work recording.
Oh, God.
So weird stuff could happen.
Yeah. Hold on to your britches, people, because it's about to get crazy.
Yeah, like whatever the fuck Alex just said. Hold on to your britches, people? What is that? What?
Britches.
Go britch yourself, britch.
You never have a britch. Well, we did warn you guys, like literally 5 seconds ago, that it was an after work.
Right off the start.
This is you. Everybody knows what a britches is. It's a pants.
Son of a britch.
Okay, how many more britch jokes are we going to have?
We'll cross that britch when we come to it. Oh my
God. You just pulled that out of your head.
That's I already got... Who the fuck is calling me? Leave me alone. Oh, actually, hold on. Maybe this is the doctor's office. We're going to restart this recording.
No, we're not. We are so not.
Hello? Okay, my medication came through.
Great. We are not stopping. I'm not stopping. This train is off the rails. Whoop, whoop. Actually, that's not what a train sounds like. It's not whoop, whoop.
No.
It's more choo-choo. Anyway.
I want to restart.
No, we're not restarting. You're going to embrace the embarrassing.
I hate everything. Okay, how are you?
What's up? I'm good. I don't know. Are you good?
Not really.
Jesus. Okay, well, why don't we tell the people what we've been up to recently?
I found a book at the used bookstore called Ashes Atlas.
Oh, I just saw you send me that, and I was like, oh, we need to talk about it.
Yes.
Ashes Atlas.
Ashes Atlas. Oh, it's hard to say.
Atlas.
Okay, I want to send you a picture. When was the last time I sent you a text message? You're not even on here.
Did you delete my number?
I think I deleted your contact on my phone.
Oh my God, what?
Oh, here you are. I last texted you August 19th. Here, I'm sending you a picture. The Johto section had a segment on annual festivals.
You're kidding me.
No, I am not.
You're not kidding me. Snapshots from the Johto region.
The Johto region is a place for going on exciting adventures and catching many amazing Pokemon. It's also home to many unique festivals and celebrations. Ah, it's the perfect place to make memories.
Oh.
Examples include the Florando Pokemon Exhibition, the Sunflora Festival, the Marite Festival, the Palpoma Swap Meet, the Wobbuffet Festival, and the Pokemon Balloon Race. And that's not even but a sample of all the annual festivals. There's also the Eggstreme Pokemon Race. What else is there?
There were so many festivals. The Great Zatu, is that in here? That's not a festival,
maybe.
But it was a notable moment. Oh my God, did you buy this book?
I did not.
This might be the greatest Pokemon book ever published.
A collection of filler episodes? Yeah.
No, the fact that they addressed the annual festival, that is amazing.
But I was kind of heartbroken because I looked and the very last thing in it is the Orange Islands and it's 2 pages.
All that for the annual festival but no love for Orange Islands?
Mm. Well, there's probably more annual festival episodes than there are Orange Islands episodes.
Clearly, we need to publish our own Pokemon book.
I just thought that was funny. But no, as a general rule, I don't buy things that are for children because those are for children.
See also the entire Pokemon franchise.
Excuse you.
Excuse me.
No, I did not buy that thing. No.
Wow.
They also had one that was called the Pokemon Movie Companion. And I think it was like supposed to be a coffee table book for the Pokemon movies that the Pokemon Company owns the English language versions of. So that basically means the Miramax movies were not in it.
Hmm.
I don't know. I thought that was interesting.
I love how you say you don't buy, like, peripheral material, but then we read the Pokemon Showdown book. And what was the other one?
For the podcast.
I know.
That was for the pod.
This could be for the pod.
You said you wanted us to do unusual podcasts, weren't just episode recaps. So I went out of my way at the very beginning to come up with all these strange Pokemon media things we could do. And that was one of the ideas.
I love it.
And I'm kind of running out now.
Oh, no.
Because we kind of went through everything.
Well, they kind of stopped doing odd and unusual things. It became very formulaic after about this time, I suppose.
No more Pokemon Live.
Oh my god, my heart.
Chapter books. Nothing like that. No Pokemon Christmas Bash album. It's all pretty much done.
I'm so upset. Pokemon Live, you guys. Please, if you have not, I implore you to go back several hundred episodes.
They know.
Listen to Pokemon Live. The people know. Do they? You might be a new listener. If so, welcome.
What is that new thing? Pokemon Live. What is it called?
Is it a resurgence?
No, it's not related to Pokemon Live, the stage show at all.
Oh, well, then I'm not interested.
Okay.
I'm sure it'll come to you at like 3 a.m.
I'm sure it will. Let me look it up. Oh my god.
Oh god.
No. I can't find it anywhere.
OCD attack.
Pokemon Live, a pocket full of adventures.
I thought you were going to say Pokemon Live Apocalypse, and I was like, yes.
Well, there is Pokemon a Pokelips.
What is Pokemon a Pokelips?
You know Pokemon a Pokelips. It's that fan YouTube video.
Oh.
Where it's like the gritty reboot.
God, it's everything I've ever wanted from like a Pokemon spinoff game. I want us to go back to Ore.
Okay, I'm announcing it right now.
Oh god.
We are doing a Pokemon Coliseum Twitch stream. You just tell me what afternoons you're good.
We are. Oh my gosh, that'll be so exciting. And you can tune in on our Twitch and we'll post the videos on our Patreon.
Details coming soon. Alex just has to tell me her availability. We'll do it.
Okay.
All right.
Wow.
That's all you want. Okay.
Yes, I'm so looking forward to that. So stay tuned. Excellent.
How was your week?
Gosh, how was my week? Well, I was out of town for a work thing for a couple days last week. So that kind of was taking up most of my mental bandwidth.
I'm already dreading my next out of town work trip, but I kind of want you to come with me on my next out of town work trip.
I know, I do too. That would be such a trip. Oh my god, Josh can come too and it would be so fun.
Like, how serious is that? Like, is that gonna happen?
I mean, it could happen.
It could happen.
We got a plan. I would love to go.
Okay, we'll see. And then you and Josh could hang out all day and I'll come see you in the afternoon.
Okay, well, let's talk more details. We'll figure that out. But anyway, aside from that, what else has been going on? Nothing really exciting. I am sorry, guys. I know this is kind of one of those lull in our off-pod lives, so there's nothing really exciting going on.
Let's get to listener feedback then.
Okay. Tune in next week. Maybe something interesting will have happened then.
One of us will have had a baby like Jacob did.
Out of nowhere.
All right, let's go through some emails. We got one from Marcelo, and he tells us that he is a big fan of the Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire designs for Team Aqua, especially Archie, because he's a sexy sailor.
Austin can relate. Austin loves a sexy sailor man.
I don't know where this idea that I like a sexy sailor comes from.
Oh my god. We had
just
a
because
whole
I
thing.
Think the stripe shirt. Oh yeah, I do remember now. It came back to me. I forgot.
First
okay.
of all, yeah, now first I remember. Of all, the fan fiction from way back when. Second of
yeah,
all,
yeah, I know.
We were salivating over young Mr. Briny in that one episode.
True.
So
I forgot about young Mr. Briny.
Yeah.
You're just as culpable as I am.
I'm not gonna hide it. I said young Mr. Briny, not regular Briny, but you know.
Yeah. Well, I'll take regular Mr. Briny. You can take the young one.
Okay.
Marcelo says that we should be proud to have a Brazilian fan.
I'm glad to have any fans.
International listeners, we are glad to have you.
Yes, thank you. Tell your friends.
It's a podcast. It's for the world.
It's for anybody who's also a fan of Pokemon and loves it just as much as we do.
Who else has contacted us? We have Ben.
Hey, shout out to Ben.
Ben has some feedback for us about our advertising campaign.
Okay, well, let's see what happens. And what he says.
The first advertisement he got was a Sherwin-Williams ad, and now he is horrified with us for being stooges for Big Lead.
Big Lead.
LOL, just kidding.
Hey, you know what? We have a whole 1 penny in ad revenue, so thanks, guys. Keep listening.
I think it's gone up to 10 pennies.
Oh my god, 10 pennies. A whole dime.
I'll get a live result for you later. Don't you worry.
Every little bit helps you guys, really.
Every listen is like 1/10,000th of a penny. So just listen over and over and over.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, I'm going to take this opportunity to shamelessly plug our podcast. Yes, please listen, tell your friends, leave us a comment. I think that has something to do with the algorithm. So, you know, helps.
Yeah, those reviews.
Bumps us up in visibility. Yes, leave us reviews if you can. And consider joining our Patreon. I know it's hard times for everybody. You don't have to.
If you can, you can.
If you can, we would super appreciate it. It really helps keep us motivated. It helps keep this podcast going.
I would just like to reiterate, we don't post anything that is pertinent to the Pokemon anime viewing experience.
Right.
It's all extra bullshit.
It's all extra. You're not missing out. We're very adamant of not having things locked behind a paywall that you have to contribute to get the full enjoyment of this podcast. But yeah, really consider it if you can. We would appreciate it.
All right. Ben has a theory about why we never see Damn It Janet anymore.
Did she fall off a cliff somewhere?
Well, Ben's theory, his little fan fiction, is that she knew she was a bad coordinator. So she went to Johto to get a head start on the contest circuit over there.
That's where everybody who is nobody goes to die.
Exactly. He asked us, actually, what do we think of the often told of but rarely shown Johto contest? And I think, as Alex alluded to, it hasn't started yet in our viewing. But eventually what's going to happen is when they want to dispose of a character,
oh my God,
they dump them to Johto to never be seen again.
It's literally the character graveyard. Every person who never comes back again ever gets sent to Johto.
Except it got reversed.
Oh?
People started to come back from Johto the longer the show went on.
They got released from their purgatory Johto. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to come full circle on that. Johto will become a prison, but as of right now, it's not. And in the further future, it will no longer be a prison.
Okay.
Isn't this joke hilarious?
It is hilarious. All
explaining you have to do.
I know. Everybody loves a joke that you have to explain in detail.
So that's our thoughts on the Johto contest.
I love a contest. It's one of my favorite things. The more I think about contests, the more I really like them.
We got more contests to come in the future.
I'm very excited. God, stay with us to Diamond and Pearl, you guys, because that's when it really gets interesting.
I got some comments from Pokemon Megastar.
Okay, what do we have this week?
Well, one of them is an MVP and LVP for May's contest episode.
Oh, I'm interested to hear.
MVP for the contest episode are May and Beautifly for doing their best for their first ever contest. LVP is Drew for being weird around May. For the Team Magma episode, MVP is Sfeel, because Pokemon Megastar is a big fan of the Sfeel line and even had one named Round.
Round? That's Round. So simplistically cute. I love it.
But LVP goes to Maxie for not appearing yet. Agreed.
Agreed.
For our As Not Seen on TV episode about Pokemon Channel, Pokemon Megastar has this to say. I kind of questioned, Pokemon Megastar, have you seen the Advanced Generation episodes? And their response was, yes, but scattered when they were younger, and now this is going to be their first complete proper watch through is along with us.
Oh, so we are glad to have you. I know, that is so charming. I really love that.
We are affecting people's routines.
Come with me and you'll see.
In a world of pure commercialization.
Yeah, that too.
Commercialization.
Isn't it so fun? You guys, this is great.
Buy Pokemon merchandise. Go buy Ash's Atlas at the used bookstore.
I would buy Ash's Atlas.
Pokemon Megastar says that their shipping pairs are a secret.
A secret?
Give more time for maybe another episode. We'll learn more about that.
Oh, did we just get cliffhangered by our own listener?
Well, we cliffhanger the listeners all the time, so it's fine.
Well, that's because you gotta tune in next week!
Here's the most important thing.
Yeah?
Pokemon Megastar agrees with Austin and not Alex, because Gary is not an S-tier character. He is more of a C.
Slanderous. This is awful.
Alex, you know it's true.
Stop. Let me have my Delulu.
You know it's true.
I won't accept this.
Okay, for the Pichu short, MVP goes to Cubone for having fun on the drums. LVP is Pokemon Channel for being such a bad game. Play Colosseum instead. Well, yep, there we go. We will.
A Cubone bone. Yes, we will. Like we said earlier, just a moment ago, we are planning, details to follow, playing Pokemon Colosseum for Twitch. So hope to see you there. And hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll have a better grasp of Twitch and we won't completely fumble it like we did last time.
I had a Twitch streamer hit me up on Grindr recently.
Tell us more.
No.
Okay.
Okay, so, what you got anything for us?
Yes, we did get some feedback from Liam. If you recall, Austin, we were challenged by Liam, I believe during not last episode, but the episode before, to rank our most favorite to least favorite follower characters that we've had throughout the years.
Yes, and that's where we all can agree that Gary is not an S tier. I think I argued you down to an A.
You did. We had a hot debate on that, but we eventually...
We really didn't.
Yeah, well...
Okay. I just relented and let you have it.
Without prompting, you just let me have it because you're so nice like that. Eventually, we decided on an A, I think it was. But we forgot one critical character, and I'm very upset that we forgot this.
Who?
Drumroll, please. The one, the only, Jigglypuff.
That doesn't count. We were only ranking people.
Did Liam specify? I can't remember.
Well, we didn't count Meowth, but we did count Jesse and James.
Should we have counted Meowth?
Okay, we're going to do Meowth, Jigglypuff, and Snubbull right now.
To be fair, Liam's original question was, can y'all rank the companions? So we assumed that meant human characters, but if we're going to expand this as a part two and say, okay, includes Pokemon characters.
Mm-hmm.
And Meowth is part of Team Rocket, so S tier, I suppose.
Yeah, Meowth S tier for sure. Some of the best episodes we've ever gotten were Meowth episodes.
Of course, so, of course.
Yeah.
And then, what did you say? You said Snubbull. Snubbull was around for a little bit.
Snubbull and Jigglypuff. Okay. I'm going to give Jigglypuff a B for being iconic.
I agree, because there's too much of an annoyance factor to really rank her higher.
Everyone knows Jigglypuff. Like, that's a well-known thing.
Yeah, if you're like a boomer who didn't know Pokemon back in the day, the one character beside Pikachu that you may be able to recognize is Jigglypuff.
All right, that leaves us Snubbull.
I
liked Snubbull.
A D?
But Snubbull hardly ever appeared.
I'm going to say a D.
Yeah, a D.
Yeah, I mean, it was only a few times, and I did like that she gave Meowth a hard time for once. You know, I don't know. I did feel, we talked about this, I'm sure, back when we had those episodes about Madam Much Money and how she was, like, stifling Snubbull. So we were rooting for Snubbull to have freedom, but I don't know. I think I'm going to stick with the D.
Is there any other Pokemon companions?
No.
Who counts as a companion? Pikachu and Togepi?
They're part of the twerps.
Well, so are Misty and Brock.
Okay, actually, there is a distinction, I feel like, now that you've said that. Pikachu's an S tier, obviously, because Pikachu, right?
And Ash goes along with Pikachu. They're
sure.
Both up there in S tier.
Of course. Togepi's an F. A negative F.
Yes.
Because Togepi is the spawn of, like...
Satan.
The deepest pits of hell. And we hated Togepi, so...
Oh, we forgot one!
What? It's obvious, I'm sure. What is it?
Wobbuffet.
But, oh, okay, okay. Wobbuffet is an S tier.
S tier.
Because Team Rocket...
Nah.
I'm yeah. Just lumping them all together.
There are six mainstay characters. They all get S tier.
Of course.
Ash, Pikachu, Jesse, James, Meowth, Boba Fett.
I mean, Team Rocket's kind of like a one entity, you know, like...
Yeah.
Kind of like an Akira blob. They're all just together.
Okay, is there anyone else? Larvitar?
So.
Like
Larvitar? I mean, I guess Larvitar. Larvitar's an A. I'll give Larvitar an A.
I'll give Larvitar a B.
B plus.
Okay.
I think that's it. Did we cover everything? Thank you, Liam. We
Mr. Briny.
Oh, my God.
S tier for sexy Briny. F for current Briny.
Pico included.
Pico gets a triple S.
A triple S. Oh, my God. Okay, well, thank you for correcting us. Sometimes we forget these things. All right. Is that it for our listener feedback for the week?
I think so.
Great. Well, thanks, guys. As always, we really appreciate you guys reaching out and chatting with us. Keep it coming. We enjoy your thoughts. Without further ado, we can jump in. Just like Nurse Joy is jumping into the episodes. I tried real hard.
Okay.
I tried real hard. Okay, I don't see you doing it.
Okay, what are our episodes?
Jump for Joy, okay?
Yeah.
And then A Different Kind of Misty.
Which was an insane episode. We'll get to it when we get to it.
I have so many things to
okay.
say.
Okay, first let's do this boring-ass Shiftry episode.
Is it boring? I mean...
Oh, you thought it wasn't?
It was less unhinged than the Misty, but not Misty episode.
The Misty episode without Misty? Yes.
Yeah.
All right, let's flip the coin to discuss the Shiftry episode. Seems like we have different opinions.
Okay.
You are doing the 30 seconds. I'm doing the full.
Oh, God. I get to talk about the crazy episode.
Ah. Okay. All right. Get ready.
Do I? Okay. Sure.
All right. Jump to it in 3, 2, 1, go.
Jump around. Okay. Nurse Joy gets kidnapped by a Shiftry. Very crazy. This thing's scary. We do some reconnaissance and find out that it took her to a big tree in the middle of the forest, because it's always the big tree. We also find out that Shiftry kidnapped her to treat his sick friend, Nuzleaf, and we have to battle our way to the tree, and Nurse Joy saves Nuzleaf from dying of a fever, and that's really about it, because nothing else happens in this episode.
Time.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do this in more detail.
I was stretching it, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay, so we're back from our adventures in China.
Oh, yeah.
And Nurse Joy is on her big old desktop computer looking at, like, graphs or something, I don't know. And
graphs.
I don't know, she's balancing the budget. I don't know what she's doing on there.
Spreadsheets.
Yeah, exactly.
Playing Minesweeper, who knows.
And then a Shiftry jumps through the window and has glowing red eyes.
Oh.
And then it smacks her around with some blue powder and it's out the window with her.
It drugged her with some chloroform and jumps out the window.
So that leads us to the twerps, who are entering right at that moment, of course. And they're like, what happened here? This place has been ransacked. Pikachu's nose leads him to Joy's office, and he sniffs around, and he also gets chloroformed and falls to the ground. And Ash is like, Pikachu, did something you smell make you fall to the ground? So he sniffs around, and he also gets chloroformed. Oh, boy.
Oh, it's a comedy of errors right off the bat.
Yep. So as the twerps are waking up Ash and Pikachu, Team Rocket's lazily in a tree somewhere? Right as Shiftry jumps by, and when Shiftry jump, I cannot talk today. And as Shiftry.
Say it more times. Shiftry
jumps by, it causes a huge wind to knock them all out of the tree.
Should we talk about Shiftry? Should we, pause here?
And yeah, let's do it. We've talked about Shiftry before. You don't like it.
I don't.
It's weird. It's a big face. It has clogs. It does.
Clogs. Oh, my God. I don't remember. What are the Japanese slippers with the wood? They have a name. Speaking of clogs, while you...
Gita.
Gita, thank you.
Is that how you say it? Gita? G-E-T-A.
G-E-T-A. Gita? Geta?
Okay.
Somebody weigh in and tell us. I'm sure we're mispronouncing it. Apologies.
I'm on it.
Speaking of clogging, were you guys ever forced as elementary school children to do clogging?
No? We've talked about... You were very clearly traumatized.
Just me.
You've mentioned this multiple times on the podcast.
It's not so much the clogging aspect as it is the forced activities in school to be like, here, you're going to do this and enjoy it. And I did not enjoy it.
All right. It's called Geta, by the way.
Geta.
Okay. Shiftry has Geta feet.
I know Shiftry is based on Japanese legend.
It's an oni, right? I would assume.
There's history. I know we've talked about Shiftry before. It's like a Tengu or something, right?
Oh, is that what it is?
Isn't it?
Okay. What does Bulbapedia have to say?
It's a bird. Something about a bird.
It's a bird?
It's a bird monster.
But it's a leaf.
You'll see.
All right, Bulbapedia says.
Tengu.
I was
right.
That always makes me think of the Tengu Warriors from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers the movie.
Of course it makes you think of that. Who wouldn't think of that?
Well, they are Tengu.
Okay, so what else does it say?
I don't know. It's wearing Gita. It wields magical fans that can stir up great winds.
Yeah, it says, folklore states it was once an evil bird Pokemon before its wings and beak were replaced as a punishment for its misdemeanor.
I did not know the Pokedex lore for Shiftry.
I know we've said that before.
I believe you. I just don't give a shit about Shiftry, so I don't care.
So, yeah, these are the weirder ones. It's kind of a counterpart to Ludicolo being a yokai, Tengu versus Kappa, all that stuff. So,
I mean, I thought Golduck was the Kappa.
So apparently is
Ludicolo. Oh my god, they have multiple Kappas.
Lombre in them. Okay. Remember when we thought Yokai Watch was going to be like super big and then it like wasn't?
It was for like a hot second in Japan.
Over here.
Oh, this. Okay, so I'm looking through these Pokédex entries, just FYI. And all this stuff about it being a bird Pokemon that got punished doesn't come in until Violet.
Really?
That's why I never heard of it.
That was way later. Okay, never mind.
That was like 20 years later. Jesus.
Okay, according to Bulbapedia also, apparently its reddish coloration may be inspired by Tengu's trademark red skin, and its wooden humanoid body and large mouth also resemble a nutcracker doll.
I don't know about that one.
That's a stretch, but this is Bulbapedia we're talking about. Yeah,
I'm not so sure about that one, Bulbapedia. Maybe if you would cite your sources, we could argue more about that. But for now, I'm going to press X for doubt.
X for doubt.
I did finish L.A. Noire.
You did. I'm so proud of you. Okay, well, that's interesting. Yeah, the only entry that mentions the bird thing is Violet. Huh, okay. Well, Shiftry's here, and we have to have a one-off episode. It's not a favorite. I don't know. I'm sure there's Shiftry fans out there, but it's not for me.
If you're a Shiftry fan, let us know.
And why? It's just a big face with a mouth.
And Gita. And whatever that white thing is, I'm not sure what's going on there.
It's big hair.
It's like hair beard.
Hair beard mask? Sure.
We are very culturally insensitive on this one. We don't know what's going on.
I would argue that it's just a matter of aesthetic taste. I am not taking anything into account other than the fact that I don't like how it looks. And it's kind of weak in a battling competitive sense, right? So it's really not...
I didn't know that.
I thought I heard that before. Like, as far as like the metagame, it's not that great.
You know, as far as the metagame is concerned, that's like something that is a different... That's like a different franchise from the Pokemon franchise. True. From my point of view.
True.
People are like, oh, so-and-so Pokemon is like whatever tier. It's so bad at battling because of this reason and that reason. And I'm like, I don't care. It's cute. I like it.
But Shiftry isn't cute. So it doesn't Therefore, that going
I don't like it. I don't care if it's great at battling. Fuck Shiftry.
I was trying to come at it from different angles, okay? So like... You could say, oh, I don't care about the competitive. I just like the way it looks. It looks cool. It looks cute, whatever. Okay, that's one way to approach it. Or you could say, well, okay, it's not the greatest looking, but it's really good in a competitive battling sense. Shiftry is neither of those things. So,
okay, great. You know. Well, now I'm kind of interested in this like bird Pokemon punishment backstory. That's interesting. I'm going to hear more about that.
I would say that like would be something to explore in a Legends game because...
Ooh, like a regional form that's a bird.
Yes. Are you listening? Oh, no. Game Freak?
Oh, no. I'm starting to like Shiftry now.
Oh, what have we done? Have we talked ourselves in a full circle?
Well, I don't like Shiftry in this episode. How about that?
You like the potential that Shiftry has. You don't like how it is now.
I now like the potential it has.
Okay, so.
This is new information to me.
Interesting.
I still don't think it's a nutcracker, though.
No, I disagree with that.
So back to the twerps, Ash and Pikachu are woken up, and this episode's kind of funny because all the characters say stun spore when they very clearly mean sleep powder.
Yeah, and also the powder's blue, which is pretty characteristic of sleep powder.
How dare those adult people in the early 2000s working at the 4Kids offices not know these things? It's first grade, SpongeBob.
I would give them the benefit of the doubt if they hadn't before had episodes with sleep powder in them versus stun spore.
My theory is Nurse Joy was on her Excel spreadsheet and she was looking at the document that shows all the Japanese key terms and compares them to their English translations. And when she was attacked by the Shiftry sleep powder, she got knocked over and she hit some buttons on the keyboard and it mixed around a couple of the cells and it swapped sleep powder and stun spore. So then when four kids were coming up with the script for this one, they had inaccurate information.
It's Joy's fault. No, it's Shriftree's fault.
It's all Shriftree's fault. It should have stayed a bird.
Definitely. That's okay. That's the explanation.
So they all identified the stun spore slash sleep powder. Max, who just knows every Pokemon's moveset off the top of his head, Max says, but Shriftree doesn't learn sleep powder slash stun spore. And I was like, uh-oh, something suspicious is going on here.
I always hate it when they do this, when they make something sound more interesting or suspicious than it actually is, because this doesn't really go anywhere.
No.
So
we actually look at Nurse Joy's desktop, and we see what she was actually doing. Well, she was, like, writing a white paper on the Pokemon in the area. Like, she was doing some sort of, I don't know, scientific report for being published in a journal somewhere.
I kind of love this, actually. Like, the implication that, you know, the Joys, or at least some of them, have academic interests, and they contribute to medical research journals or other sort of academic papers. I love that. I think it's so fun.
We have argued. They're not nurses. They are doctors. Like,
yes.
Like, there is value in nurses. But what Nurse Joy does is not a nurse's job. She is a doctor. She's a veterinarian.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool detail.
Honestly, I feel like some of the Nurse Joys, like in these random places, are more accomplished and, frankly, smarter than some of the professors that we see.
Well, professors are like lunatics.
See Professor Birch. Birch falling off a cliff. Oh, God.
We're off to chase the Nurse Joy, the wonderful Nurse Joy of Hoenn. As we do so, we come across a bunch of Oddish who use stun spore, and we gust away the stun spore with May's Beautifly, and Max concludes that the Shriftree must have been using the Oddish's sleep powder stun spore, which, did it, like, take a handful of it and just jump around with it? I don't understand.
I think it's kind of interesting, the implication that it's, like, using other Pokemon's moves as tools, but I'm assuming it swept it up in its hand fans, and
I thought maybe, like, an Oddish would jump out of its white mane. I know. And be like, Oddish! Or something like that.
That kind of would have made more sense than it just, like, running its hands in the powder and, like, fanning it at people, but, like, sure.
So the Twirps keep on going and going and going, and some Seedots attack, and it's kind of boring. And then some Nuzleafs attack with their nipples. Thankfully, this time, God, they weren't, like, doing anything weirdly culturally appropriative. They were just regular Pokemon, so I appreciated that.
Sure. Aside from the fact they were smacking the Twirps with their nipples.
Yeah, that's not okay in any culture. No. That's not okay.
Put your nipples away.
But they didn't sacrifice them to their fire god, so that's a plus.
Yeah, true.
So Joy wakes up from her captive, like, bedside, and she looks around, and she's in a cave. But she's actually in the middle of the giant fucking tree. And she's like, whoa, I'm way up here in this huge tree. And all the grass Pokemon are like, you better get fucking back, Nurse Joy. Get back to where we put you. And the Shriftree comes up and indicates to her. Actually, I think an Oddish leads her to where the sick Nuzleaf is. Oh my god, it's gonna die. It has unknown disease. And Nurse Joy's like, I can help you, Shriftree. I can help your Nuzleaf friend. But I'm going to need some of my medication.
I kind of want to know what kind of diseases that Pokemon get.
Nippleitis.
Nippleitis.
When your nipples get too cold and too hard and you just fall over dead.
Oh my god.
Oh. Put those nips away.
That's why we don't have our nips out.
At this point, I think Shriftree is alerted to the Twirp's presence outside the tree. So it jumps outside to murder them. And Ash picks Trico to fight it, which is really boring because Trico does not know any other new moves in this entire time.
Can we talk about how Max is the one who has to keep jumping in and saying, hey, so now would be a good time, May, to use your Torchic against all the grass Pokemon. Or Ash, why don't you use XYZ Talo, because it's advantageous here. Why does he have to be the one?
Because everyone else is an idiot and Max is the only smart one among the group.
And also, Brock didn't do a goddamn thing the whole time.
Well, Fortress doesn't know any bug type moves, I don't think.
I mean, anything's better than nothing, though. I mean, he just stands there.
He doesn't stand there for long, because as Ash is distracting the Shriftree with Trico, Brock, May, and Max run inside, they find Nurse Joy, and they're like, Nurse Joy, we're here to save you from your captivity. And she's like, I'm not being held captive. I'm here to help the Nuzleaf. I'm like, that's not really the full story, but okay, Nurse Joy. She says, Shiftry, stop trying to kill Ash and Trico. We need to get my medications from the Pokemon Center. And Brock says, I volunteer as tribute. And Shiftry and Brock jump 30 miles back to the Pokemon Center and then return.
He rides it like a jetpack. He's like, straight to the Pokemon Center.
I think Team Rocket attacks at some point. I did not give a shit about that. Okay, they're gone. I guess the Nuzleaf is saved from its Nippleitis, and we are all happy, and we are on our way to the next gym. And there's a weird flashback moment when Ash says, hey, Brock, remember when you had a girly scream? And we flash back to Shiftry and Brock jumping 30 miles? And that's it. That's the episode. I thought it was so boring.
I would just want to stand up for my boy Brock here and just say that I think his scream is decidedly ungirly.
No, I thought it was a pretty...
a normal shout. Yeah, scream. And it wasn't even like a scream per se. It was more just like a shout, you know, because you're like riding on a shift tree and, you know, going 70 miles an hour. And anybody would be like, whoa.
It just sounded like Eric Stewart as Brock going like, ah, like that was all it was.
I think, why does Ash have to like neg Brock like that? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Misogynist Ash rises again.
But I thought, you know, you're supposed to have like, you know, your bro's back, right? Like, why is
Ash does not give a shit about Brock. He really doesn't.
I know. We've talked extensively about how little Ash cares about Brock or, you know, his problems. So
Brock is a tool.
Yeah, he is really. Yeah. Well,
Not what I meant. Ash is the tool in this situation.
I felt really bad for Brock because I'm like, he didn't really deserve that kind of treatment. And Ash is just out of nowhere insulting him. So very strange.
Yeah. Okay. So Shiftry episode. It's done. It's out of the way. We can move on.
You sped through that faster than Shiftry was flying around.
I'm like an ancient bird Pokemon that was punished. What can I say? That's just the way I am.
Okay. Well.
You have any more comments to say about that one? Because I went through it really fast.
I know. You really did breakneck speed. I don't have anything to say other than, Meowth apparently has a cousin named Larry.
That was going to be my quote.
Oh, well.
But let's just do it now.
Yeah, go ahead.
They're describing Shiftry. Jesse says, it's scary. James says, and hairy. And Meowth says, it looks like my cousin Larry.
I want to know more.
Perhaps cousin Larry is the one who lives in Big Town.
Cousin Larry. Why is Meowth just Meowth, but then Larry has a name?
I don't know. Maybe Meowth has a name. We don't know.
Oh my god, you think he has a real, like, name?
Yeah, what would his name be? With his, like, joisy accent.
Tony or something.
Tony, maybe. He's Larry's my cousin Vinny.
Yeah, Vinny the Meowth. Oh my god.
He's actually Danny DeVito, and he's going to come and save him from a murder charge.
No, he can't be Danny.
By using Marissa Tomei.
He can be Vinny. He can't be Danny, because Danny's Pichu, so.
He's not Danny. Danny's already killed before.
All right, well, I really have nothing.
Are we done with this one now?
I don't have anything else to say. I'm sorry. I'm like, no, nothing even, like, funny or anything, so.
Yeah, I'm way more eager for the Plus All Minor episode. Yeah. Let's flip the coin for the MVP, LVP, and quote. Tails, you're going first.
Okay, my MVP is going to be, I guess, Max for being the smartest person here in this episode. I don't know.
He is such our default.
You have to have a default for when an episode really doesn't have a standout, so.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess Max, and that's really kind of even a weak answer. Sorry, there wasn't really anything. My LVP is going to be Shiftry because I just don't like it. My quote, I actually had a bunch of quotes this episode.
Oh.
Okay, this is not my quote, but this is something funny that I just wanted to point out. When they first walk into the Pokemon Center, and they're like, oh, hello, like, Nurse Joy, are you here? And then Ash is like, oh, well, she can't be too far. And I'm like, Ash, you're assuming a lot that, like, Joy is chained to her desk and she can't ever leave.
Ash really assigned roles to everyone around him. It's just like, you have nothing in your life other than what I expect from you.
Exactly. It's not a good look, Ash. Obviously, Nurse Joy has a life outside of manning the Pokemon Center desk. She's obviously up there doing critical research. But Ash is just like, oh, she's around here somewhere because that's all she does. And she just lives here, which, I mean, technically he's not wrong, but I feel like we can't put people in boxes like that, right? So
yeah, he's not terribly wrong.
But you can't assume. You can never assume. All right. Let's see. Okay, my real quote. I guess the Brock one, for when he declares himself to be Nurse Joy's hero. And Brock says, My name's Brock, and I'm here to rescue you. For wherever there's a pretty girl in distress, I will be there. And Joy says, but I'm not in distress. Brock replies, but you're pretty, right?
That was cute.
Yeah.
It kind of gave me a I'm Luke Skywalker, I'm here to rescue you vibe to me.
Yeah, it kind of did. I thought it was goofy.
All right. My quote is going to be, Team Rocket's convinced that the twerps are trying to steal Shiftry just like they are. Because we skipped over their boss fantasy.
How did you... Okay, see, this is the problem, Austin. When you speed through, you miss critical things.
Okay, go do the boss fantasy. Why does Team Rocket want the Shiftry?
Okay, so this isn't like one of my favorite kind of boss fantasies where it's like sexy Giovanni. This is one of the ones where it's like...
Because most of the boss fantasies are bad.
Yes, okay, well... I was thinking that the boss fantasies were more like the sexy ones, but in reality, they're more like the childhood drawing ones, and that's what this was this time. So apparently in Meowth's delusional world that he has in his head, Giovanni doesn't have central air. And so the sun is beating through his window and it's unbearably hot because he was also in like wool pajamas and not...
His little nightcap that he wears, yeah. Like he's on a night before Christmas or something.
Instead of wearing, like, nothing or, you know, just boxer briefs or something, he's in a whole ass pajama suit. So he, of course, needs to be fanned because it's very hot in his room. So a Shiftry is going to do that for him and jump through the window and fan him with his hand fans. That's why we need Shiftry.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that context in mind... Team Rocket thinks the twerps are trying to get the Shiftry, and James says, next thing you know, they'll be copying our uniforms. And Meow says, they won't be copying mine.
Is that like a I'm naked joke?
Yes, it is.
Ah, I got it.
I don't
it.
Know what other reading there could be for that.
No, I guess that's true. That was funny.
My MVP is going to be Nurse Joy for her, you know, her scientific research on the biodiversity of the forest that she's working at. That's cool.
Great, yeah.
My LVP, you took Shiftry. God, I guess I'll give it to Wild Nuzleaf in their nipples. Because it's just always room for distress when it comes to them.
There's no redeeming quality, really.
We should have let all of these Nuzleafs die.
Well, and nothing of value would have been lost.
Sea dots are okay, except for when they're leeching all the nutrients out of the trees.
So then they're not okay, really.
Just kill them all. Just exterminate them. I'm tired of them. Just get rid of every single one of them.
Sorry to all those sea dot lovers out there.
God, who knew going into this we were going to have such a hate relationship with the sea dot line?
Because they're just annoying and really just cause problems everywhere they go, so.
But they're done. We're done with them. We're done.
Thank God. Well, with that being said, I think we can leave the Shiftry tree behind and move
Yay.
On.
Yay! I kind of wanted Trico to see the tree and like have like a trauma flashback of like, that was my home once.
Oh, for when he like had an elder abuse moment and like was abusing yeah. his clanmates and...
And they had like a psychic vision of the tree's lifetime, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and then that episode where I was confused that was happening, like, as a flashback, but it was, like, also happening in real time, and it was overall just, like, really confusing. Yeah.
That was a weird one.
That was a weird
okay,
one.
Let's get ready for another weird one.
We're in the Misty Mountains.
Yeah.
It's a Hobbit reference.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, Misty Mountains. Okay, admittedly, I know very little about The Hobbit. I'm so sorry.
I know less. I'm not a Tolkien guy.
It's a very fuzzy area.
We're going to do Dry and Pan Book Club, and we're going to read The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings and The Silmarillion or whatever it's called.
Silmarillion. Josh has Audible, and I told him that he better, for the next few months, start picking the Lord of the Rings books because I really want to listen to them on audiobook.
You listen to his Audible?
I'm not yet, but he has Audible. But you will. But I will if he gets the Lord of the Rings series. I say this, I have the Lord of the Rings books, but I just... You know, mm-hmm. when you're like a captive person at like a desk or you're driving in your car, an audiobook makes more sense. So,
see, I love audiobooks when I listen to them, but like I prefer to read a text in front of me.
Sure.
Yeah, that's my preferred method.
But see, you know, we all are chained to a 40-hour work week, and so it's very hard to find time to read a book like that. So,
I like to listen to Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast. I just listen to it on repeat all day,
over
every day.
And over.
For that sweet, sweet Avenue, one millionth of a penny for every listen. Okay, we're in the Misty Mountains.
In the Misty Mountains, something, something, the Hobbit. Okay. Are you ready, Austin? Because...
Not really.
Oh, well, try to find your way through the fog and do this 30-second summary.
If I knew anything about The Hobbit, I would do the plot of The Hobbit, but I really know nothing about it.
I don't either. I saw the movies, but maybe... No, I didn't see all the movies. I think I only watched the first two.
I only saw the first one.
Oh, well, they didn't have the staying power as the original trilogy, so...
No, they were a mistake from the get-go. All right, let's focus.
Okay, well... Right. Yeah. Join us for our Out of the...
The Shire.
Out of the Shire. Okay, in 3, 2, 1, go.
Oh my god, so there's a lighthouse on a mountain with a... Instead of a light bulb, they have a stone that lights up momentarily when you shock it with an electric attack. And there's this boy, Thatcher, and he has a Plusle and a Minun, and they're cheerleaders. And his sister's like, you little piece of shit, your Plusle and Minun need to be offensive battlers, not support Pokemon. And Team Rocket is there, and they steal Pikachu, and Thatcher thinks Ash is a hero, and he worships him. He, like, throws out the red carpet for him, because he wears blue.
Time.
It was a weird one. It was a weird episode.
This one was so weird, you guys.
I genuinely did not remember this episode existed. Oh my god, there's a car alarm going off.
I don't hear it, so...
Okay, hopefully it's not coming up.
Oh, nope, I hear it now.
Beep. Great. Beep. Just talk.
Okay, so...
I'm gonna go mute.
Okay. This will be great, you know, considering that it'll be a one-sided conversation until that's resolved. I also didn't remember this episode at all, but I had to think about it. I was like, okay, I must have seen it at least one time because we did an original watch through way back in the day. But this was so of no consequence whatsoever that I legitimately couldn't recall a single detail or even remember
I'm
that
back.
This exists. Oh, that, okay, great. So yeah, I guess we just have to get through this because we have to get through the Plusle and Minun episode.
I have a theory on what's going on here.
What? There's a theory?
I think the Pichu brothers have been retired and they have been reincarnated in the form of a Plusle and a Minun.
Just when you think that they couldn't get any worse, then they do get worse.
Who do we prefer?
Pichu brothers. And that's really? Saying a lot.
Okay. At least the Pichu brothers have personalities.
That's why yeah, exactly. These two, nothing. They were basically like blank slates of nothing. Okay, do we want to jump into this? I really don't want to turn it into a conversation of like the Pichu knockoff Pokemon, but Plusle and Minun were never my favorite.
They were never my favorite. I think they were kind of notable in that they were kind of the first Pikachu knockoffs.
I mean, I guess they really were there to accentuate the double battle aspect.
That's why they exist, yeah. So it's kind of clever. It's a plus and a minus.
Sure.
And they know support moves for double battle, so that's cool and different from Pikachu.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the difference is between the two of them, exactly.
I mean, you have to have a pair, so there's really not... I never really could wrap my head around their abilities, like plus and minus. I'm just underwhelming.
I like them in the movie.
Okay.
Do you remember the movie?
No, I don't. I don't.
They're in the Deoxys movie. That we'll get to that.
Well, hopefully we can recall this conversation when we get there. I know we won't, but...
We will not. I know there was a rumor they were going to be characters in Smash Brothers.
Oh.
Like the Ice Climbers.
Oh.
I don't think we lost out on that not happening at all.
I mean, honestly, on their own, they're just really underwhelming and not remarkable. Together, they, I guess, have a little bit of a gimmick. But ultimately, I'm just not a fan. There's nothing really fantastic about them. So they're not. It's not it. Plus, this episode is really not heavily focused on them. There's a lot of other crazy shit happening that is more interesting, if you want to say that. So let's just jump right into it. This is an interesting episode because immediately we jump into Team Rocket harassing this kid. The twerps are nowhere to be seen. They're up to no good. Team Rocket is at Misty Village, I suppose. And one has to wonder how they even knew about this light stone that they are here to steal. Like, what is the backstory with that?
I'm curious. I don't have answers for that.
Okay.
I just don't. They just know.
It's just
they just know all there is to know.
Sure. They have omnipotence of some kind. They're here in this mountainous area, which... Maybe you can explain it to me a little bit better. Like, is this a thing to have a landlocked lighthouse.
I Googled landlocked lighthouse and I found almost nothing. I found apparently some places have lighthouses not near water. Why? And it's kind of like a tourist attraction. Like, look at our lighthouse.
Okay.
I found like an Amazon self-published mystery novel called The Landlocked Lighthouse.
What? Now that's the real interesting thing here.
From the Locked House Haunting series.
Okay. Whoever you are, you just got a free plug on your book.
Yeah, you did. We don't know anything about you. I hope you're not a bad person or thing. We genuinely do not know you.
So this is a weird one. I'd never have heard about areas that are completely land-based that have a lighthouse. Like, what practical purpose does it serve?
I could not tell you.
I mean, I keep thinking of something like, okay, air travel, like, is this some kind of beacon for, like
those lights they have on the airstrip?
Yeah, like airstrips kind of guiding your way. But then I really don't know. It has to just be a conversation piece, right? Like, oh, look at our lighthouse, tourist attraction.
Well, the logic here is that there's foggy mountain passageways and you're going to walk off the side of the mountain if you don't have a lighthouse to light the way.
That makes no sense.
No, it does not. But did we notice how the twerps were like 2 inches off from falling off the entire first 5 minutes of this episode?
Yeah, exactly. And so you know what I think would be better? Instead of one big singular lighthouse that serves no practical purpose at all, they should invest in some barriers, like fences or something.
That would make sense.
Or have like light posts every so often down the path to guide your path through the mountains, not just a big fucking lighthouse. Like, that doesn't help me or anyone.
Well, Alex, they have this magical light stone and they're going to use it no matter what. We're going to build a goddamn lighthouse on a mountain because we got to make use of this thing.
Okay.
It glows.
Sure. So it only devolves from there and gets crazier, right? Okay, so Team Rocket beats up this little kid, hog ties him and gags him. And then this girl runs up and she's like, I'm here to relieve you from your shift because apparently Misty Village employs child labor. He was working at the lighthouse. I don't know. Ash and friends are in the thick fog. Ash trips and falls because he's not watching where he's going and almost falls to his death. But he trips and falls into a puddle and gets his jacket all muddy and wet. So he has to take his jacket off. They come face to face with Team Rocket. This is kind of a funny moment. Like, the fog is so thick and they don't know where they're going. So it turns out hilariously that they're on the edge of a cliff and Team Rocket is hovering right there next to them the whole time.
That was pretty funny. I like how Ash answers Jesse's question.
Yes.
They don't realize that the two groups are 5 feet apart.
I love it. So they get into a little bit of a tiff with Team Rocket and end up igniting the light stone when Pikachu shocks it. And they're like, ooh, that's very curious. How interesting. After they get into it with Team Rocket, Thatcher, the boy from before, and the girl, who I'm just going to call her name because it's too confusing. Her name's Alyssa, I guess.
I have a confession to make.
What?
In my notes, before they finally said the name Alyssa, I called her Margaret all throughout my notes.
Margaret! Oh my god. I mean, do we want to get political? These people are just as unlikable as Margaret Thatcher, so.
I mean, Alyssa seemed pretty unpleasant. So I was like, yeah, Margaret Thatcher sounds about right for her.
That sounds
so.
About right.
But no, her name's Alyssa.
This girl.
You know what? She's a total britch.
She is a britch. She's absolutely a britch.
Oh, I thought that was going to get more of a reaction by bringing it back around.
Yeah. Remember that, guys? Remember that from the very beginning when I said the word britches and then Austin made a bunch of funny puns?
Hilarious boomerang humor.
Alyssa and her britches runs up to the twerps. Before they even have a chance to explain. Oh, Team Rocket's gone, by the way. Just putting that out there. They're gone.
And where's the stone? Did the twerps get back the stone?
Ash has it. He's holding it.
Okay, got it.
Before they even have a chance to explain themselves, she accuses them of theft and just starts attacking them. And then this is where I became irrationally angry because Thatcher could easily explain the situation and prevent a confrontation. He just lets this shit happen and doesn't say, these are not the people that attacked me, because he saw them in plain view. They were not hiding. It was not, oh my God, somebody came in the night and did this. We have no idea.
He's the passive sibling and she's the active sibling. And he enables her to do her crazy schemes where he doesn't say anything to stop her.
This is a bunch of bullshit. Instead of saying these are not the people, he's like, okay, I'll help you attack them. He calls out his Plusle and Minun. This is pretty boring. They use Helping Hand, which apparently...
I thought that was really interesting.
Really?
The animation for Helping Pan apparently is blue lightning bolts to the sky, which then thunder, and then come back down to Alyssa's Magnemite to charge her up. I was like, this is way more interesting than I thought it would be.
When you explain it like that, yes, it is interesting. I guess instead of them, like, clapping and doing a dance or whatever. Okay, I'll give them that. But it's not very effective anyway, because Magnemite really just doesn't do anything. Team Rocket is back. They have crawled up the sheer cliff face that they have fallen into, and they are like, hello, again. And so now is the time when Thatcher decides to tell Alyssa that those are the real criminals. So we blast Team Rocket off again, goodbye, for the second time. And Alyssa now explains that this light stone is the pride of their village, which sits atop this mountain lighthouse. Wow.
Cool. I can't believe.
I know.
We haven't heard of Misty Village before. It's so neat. I wonder if it was included in Ash's Atlas.
We'll never know because you didn't buy it.
No, I did not.
So we're back at the lighthouse. And Ash is like, oh, great. Now that we've sat here for a while and dried off after falling in the muddy puddle and being out in the misty rain, my jacket's dry and I can put it back on my body. And so he puts it back on and Thatcher descends into like a fit.
This was wild.
Wild. He starts spouting some crazy shit. This is where the episode takes a complete insane turn because you could not have seen this coming. He's like, you're the legendary hero. And we're all like, what? What are you people like doing up here in the mountain? Like, is your being cut off from civilization like affected you negatively?
His logic is he wears a blue hoodie. Yes. Therefore, he's the hero.
Yes, obviously. And he has an electric Pokemon.
Specifically Pikachu. He said that.
Specifically. This is even worse than, oh my god, what was that one Chronicles episode with that girl who wrote to Jesse and James about...
Okay, I will say, I was thinking of that same episode too. That episode, I think, was more chaotic than this one.
I mean, it was definitely more entertaining.
Yeah, well, that's true, yes. But in that episode, the girl's obsession with that old TV show, she convinced the entire village that this was real news footage, and that yes. Team Rocket was here to save the world, save them from the mecha robot farmers. And in this case, only, what's his fucking name?
Thatcher
believes that Ash is the ancient hero of Misty Village. He's the only one who thinks that. Everyone else is humoring him.
Okay, so that's also a problem too. I feel like, yes, you can let kids have imagination, and clearly he needs some kind of, you know, enrichment in his life because they literally have nothing to amuse themselves with other than this light stone, apparently. I get it, having a little fantasy, playing, you know, imagination and all that stuff. But these are real people, and they let him just go off on this crazy Delulu fantasy of the ancient hero. Be like, no, that was a story.
Are we going to talk about the villagers of Misty Village and how they're dressed like they're in the 1700s or something?
Okay, I'm going to get to that. Hold on one second. Just okay, hold on. Okay, okay. Hold on to your britches, Austin.
Okay.
Your
britches. Okay.
Your britches are getting out of control. You just got to hold on one second. Thatcher and his brain damage tells the twerps about the legendary hero of Misty Village because sometime in antiquity, this guy came to Misty Village. I don't know any story or I don't know any backstory other than this. Brought this light stone. Who the fuck knows where it came from?
Chargestone Cave in the Anova region. I don't know.
That, you know what? I'm going to go with that because that's infinitely more interesting than whatever this was. Brings them a stone. I don't know why he thought they needed it, for one thing. And he's like, here, I'm going to leave this with you guys. Peace out. And then that was the story. Like, that's it. Like Austin said before, the only connection in Thatcher's mind is the fact that Ash wears a blue hoodie and this guy from before wore a blue robe.
I'm looking for a picture of him and I can't find one, but he did not look like Ash.
He did not. He was just like a nondescript guy in a blue robe with a Pikachu next to him. I don't know. I was kind of getting like Sir Aaron vibes from this.
I was too. I was like, this is Ash's previous life. And he
do you think, oh my God, do you think that this is one of his like incarnations?
Okay, that's the entire irony of this. All of them do not know that Ash is actually the chosen one who is the reincarnation of every male hero figure throughout the history of all time and space.
So but maybe.
We know that. We, however, okay, are aware that Ash is actually the reincarnated hero of every folktale imaginable because he was put on this planet and time itself ceased to be, so he was able to save the world time and time again.
So maybe I retract, should I retract everything that I said about Thatcher and his delusions? Maybe he was the only person that had it right.
From the mouths of babes, little Thatcher was the only one who knew the truth.
Okay, you know what? I think I'm going to rescind all of the complaining that I just did. Thatcher is a real one. He knows what's up. He knows Ash is the chosen hero of all time.
And Ash lifts the mask lip a little bit. He's like, that's right, I am the chosen hero. Let me tell you about this time with the Lugia on Shimudi Island.
Oh, yeah. This won't inflate his ego at all, I'm sure. So I was wrong. I was wrong, you guys. Thatcher's not delusional. He just knows. He has the secret. You know what it's like? It's like when the little kids see the ghost and like say random shit that they couldn't know about. And everybody's like, oh my God, how did they know? They were talking to the course, ghost of grandma. Like, you know how they say little kids have a more of a paranormal sense to them. Maybe this is that kid. He's got a little bit more of a sense to this.
He could sense the aura. He actually aura. Is like force sensitive.
Did he get a little taste of the aura?
And he could tell Ash is actually like Anakin Skywalker.
Yes. Oh my God. I was wrong. I will admit it. I was wrong, you guys. This episode is actually one of the best episodes of all time.
It's actually incredibly important for the lore, the Ash Ketchum saga.
Actually, you're right. Okay, so now we are in the fabled Misty Village, and there's a bunch of old people, because that's what this village is. It's just a bunch of old people, and Thatcher and Alyssa are the only young people in this whole place.
I wonder if this is like the sister village to that one that Team Rocket crash landed
in. It has to be.
We must be in the same general vicinity of it, right?
I mean, one was in Johto, but the other one was in Hoenn.
No, that one was in Hoenn.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, was it super early Hoenn? Oh my God, you're right.
It was like very early Hoenn.
Oh my God, you're right.
Well, actually, if we look at the map of Hoenn, okay, I'm so sorry. I'm doing this now.
Oh my God, what are you doing?
We are doing this now.
We're in it now.
So here's the map of Hoenn. And I wish I could like screen share with you so I could have a laser pointer.
Oh my God. Okay, I'm looking at it.
You'll see where Little Root is and Petalburg, yes, City. They're right here in the corner. And they're actually right next to Slateport.
Right.
Now, there are no mountains between Slateport and Mauville, but there are mountains if you were to travel west a little bit. And that would take you closer to Petalburg City and, you know, that general area.
Sure.
Which is where Team Rocket was when they encountered the TV-worshipping people.
Oh!
I think the twerps have gone a bit off the path. Because they're avoiding these, like, dock areas, like these bridges.
Okay.
And I think they're taking the long way to get to Mauville. And I think they're passing by the general vicinity of that, whatever that weird village was.
TV Town?
TV Town, yes. They're by TV Town. That's where Pokemon Channel takes place. Everyone's, like, skipping forward 30 seconds, like, what the fuck are you talking about?
He's like, get to the good stuff.
Yeah, we want to hear the MVP and the LVP and the quote.
Yeah, that's what you're all waiting for. But I agree. I think we're in some sort of time warp bubble area where they're all living in, like, I don't know, the 1600s or something.
Light bulbs don't exist. There's no such thing as the power grid. That's not real.
Well, they have to use the light stone and a magnemite. So there you go. Yeah, Alyssa is like, hey, granddad. You know, they bring Ash and friends back to their house because Thatcher's like, oh, great hero, please, you humble us with your presence. Please grace my house and bless my home with your wonderfulness. And so they invite Ash inside. And so Grandpa's like, okay, this is great, because he's not hip. He doesn't know. He doesn't have the aura sensing powers that Thatcher has.
That's from Grandma's side of the family.
Yeah, Granddad is not a real one. And he's just like, okay, wink, wink, Alyssa, I'll pretend. Thatcher asks Ash to help train him to be a great hero, too. because he sucks.
He wants to be Ash's acolyte.
Yeah, he wants to be his follower, his acolyte.
A new religion is forming as we speak.
You know what this reminds me of? I just had a crazy thought. My memory is fuzzy because I watched this like years ago. But it reminds me of the Orville, and then it's like one episode where one of the characters somehow ends up going back in time, but they like don't know. I'm probably saying this all wrong. Anyway, she ends up creating like a religion to her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then she gets put back in normal time, and it turns out she's the one who they worship. I don't know why I thought of that just now.
I will watch the Orville one day. I have to at least get through Star Trek original series and the Next Generation first.
It's actually really good.
Okay. I'm not a Trekkie. It's not my world.
It's not mine either, but I was entertained.
All right. I already made like 3 Star Wars references in this episode alone, so you can tell which stars I reside among.
Yeah, exactly. In a galaxy far, far away. Thatcher wants to get better at battling so he can be awesome and be Ash's little lackey / acolyte. But before we get too much into the battling aspect of that, the fog rolls in again and Team Rocket is back for a third time in the same episode. Ugh. They cannot take a hint.
They are making up for how little they appeared in the Shitri episode.
Exactly. This time, though, they make much more of an impact because they show back up with a giant Zapdos mecha.
That's from the Popular Pokemon Magazine annual catalog edition.
Popular Pokemon Magazine is back. So exciting. So they do manage to overwhelm the Torps a little bit. They steal Magnemite and the Light Stone, to which I say good riddance, but apparently we have to get this thing back. Unfortunately, though, Thatcher just pussyfoots around because he's nervous about battling. And he's like, I can't do it. So while he's trying to, I don't know, get himself calmed down enough to actually be effectual, Team Rocket grabs Pikachu. Thatcher just breaks down and has a total pity party for himself. And he's like, oh, I'm the worst ever. I should have trained harder. But then he immediately shifts the blame to Ash. And he's like, you should have been stronger. You're the hero. I'm like, oh my God, kid, you can't have it both ways. Either you suck or Ash. It's not both of you. Jesus. Ash is like, you know what? Okay, enough of this hero stuff. He actually kind of is like, I'm not a hero, but
I'm not a hero. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Conveniently, he's like, you know what? I'm so bonded with Pikachu, though, that I know in my heart that if I call out to Pikachu.
Then he uses his goddamn superpowers in front of everyone.
Is it really a superpower, though? Because he is at this conveniently echoey, mountainy area that would conduct sound.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Tell us what happens, Alex.
He just screams out into the mountain pass. He's like, Pikachu, light up the stone. Thunderbolt the stone so we can see you. And it's very echoey because, again, they're in the mountains. Pikachu hears him because, of course.
He has heightened senses because he's an animal.
Yes, and also he has good hearing. So he does that. They see the beacon in the distance and are able to follow them to where they have made camp. Because instead of just flying off farther, they have to stop.
Team Rocket's fatal flaw. I am very surprised they didn't stop at a log cabin.
I know. They're just in the middle of the woods. Thatcher and Alyssa and the Torps run up and they're like, we know the mountains like the back of our hand. Ha ha, you can't ever outrun us here. And of course, they easily blast off Team Rocket. And of course, Thatcher cannot help but be weird because at the very end, as Ash is trying to leave and extricate himself from this crazy town, Thatcher is like, Master, please battle me one day. You're my lord and master. And Ash is like, okay, sure. Oh, God, oh, never. And then they leave. The end. It's over now.
Is it?
I hope so.
Is it over?
Please tell me we don't see these people again.
Is it over?
Is it over?
I don't know. We'll just have to find out next season on Out of the Drying Pan.
Oh, my God. What's happening right now?
I don't know. We'll find out in season 7 of Out of the Drying Pan.
Oh, my God. Okay.
But first, we have one more episode before that season.
Wow. The penultimate episode.
This is the penultimate episode of season 6. Let's flip the coin to find out who does MVP and LVP in quote first.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
And you are going first.
You know what? I'm going to give my MVP to Popular Pokemon Magazine.
I'm sorry, to who?
Popular Pokemon Magazine.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Poplio, and I was like, what?
Let me reiterate. If I was having a mush mouth, I'm sorry. Popular Pokemon Magazine for their Zapdos mecha. I'm not entirely sure when the last time we had a mecha was, but I think it's been some time, so.
It feels like it's been a minute, yeah.
Return of the popular Pokemon mecha. Hooray. My LVP. Oh, gosh. Okay, you know what? Despite everything, even though I had a change of heart in the middle of it, I'm still going to give it to Thatcher for LVP because he did not do the right thing at the very beginning and say, these are not the thieves. He was going to let Ash and the twerps take the fall and be blamed as criminals and let them get attacked because he couldn't just say, like, hey, these are not the guys. This is different people. He let all this happen. And then he blamed Ash and there was all that weird hero shit. I mean, it was just a nightmare. It was a mess. My quote. Okay, I'm not going to say, like, the obvious one because I think you might say that one, so.
I don't know what the obvious one is, but okay. Go on.
Well, I'll circle back in case you don't pick that one. At the end, when they are blasting off Team Rocket in the Zapdos mecha, Jesse says, I thought this thing was supposed to be electricity proof. Meowth. Luckily, the guy said I could bring it back if there was a problem. Jesse, incoming! James, Meowth, what should we do? Meowth says, get our money back? Yeah, funny.
Interesting. Okay, so I don't really have any good quotes.
Really? There was that one
scene. Just tell me what the one was. I don't know what it is.
Okay, I wasn't sure if I should mention this because I feel like there's kind of an implication to this quote as well.
Is this like a racy thing? What's going on?
It's not racy. Racist, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, I missed something.
What was it?
Okay, tell me.
Thatcher and Alyssa run up and they're confronting the twerps or whatever. So he's like, yeah, you guys are, you know, in trouble now. And Brock is like, wait, just look at our innocent faces. And then it zooms in to Brock's eyes. And then he says, do we look like criminals to you? And then Alyssa says yes after that.
Alyssa is a racist bitch.
She's a bitch. She's a racist bitch.
So Alyssa gets my LVP.
For that.
Because Alyssa is the worst. Among her many crimes are berating Thatcher for not using offensive attacks, even though Plusle and Minun's entire reason for being is to be support Pokemon. And she's like, right. Ugh, Thatcher, you need to be like aggressive. And it's like, no, he doesn't. That's not what his Pokemon would do. And I think she's trying to like say his personality needs to be more assertive. Not insertive, assertive. But I think she's plenty assertive enough for the both of them. And then she like convinces everyone to humor Thatcher's hero delusions of Ash the reincarnated hero, which also puts Ash and his friends in an awkward spot, all because she has some cockamamie plan to make Thatcher slightly more confident in battling? What? What else does she do?
For the record, and in Thatcher's defense, even though he's pretty indefensible as it is, being a support role or defensive is a perfectly sound battle strategy. I don't understand her problem with that.
He has supporting Pokemon. That's their entire thing.
Yeah, their whole shtick is supporting other Pokemon. Like, God, what a bridge. Ugh.
So that's my LVP. My MVP. Gosh.
The hero, of course.
I was thinking of the hero, but he didn't leave much of an impression because I can't even remember what he looks like.
You know what? I don't know.
Exactly. He wasn't the best hero we ever had.
I just want to know his story. Like, I just want to know. Like, what is this light stone?
Oh, I just saw a note I had on my thing. It says, thank God that Politoed lady doesn't know about these two cheerleading Pokemon.
Oh my God. God, she was awful too.
She was the worst character we've ever met.
No, we really took her to task, that girl.
Yeah, Alyssa's bad, but she's not quite that bad.
No, she's pretty bad too.
My MVP. Jesus Christ. I'll give it to the Team Rocket branded orange juice that Jesse, James, and Meowth were drinking. Yeah, did you notice?
No.
They were drinking from a jug that had the Team Rocket R on it.
I love that, though.
But I'm not sure if it was orange juice or, like, spiced rum. Which do we think it was? Because they were drinking it straight, either way.
Mimosas.
Like a pre-made mimosa?
Maybe, yeah. Sure.
Like Team Rocket pre-packaged mimosa mix.
You know
that's what it was.
You know they would drink that. You know they're all about that margarita mix and pre-mixed alcohol drinks.
Oh, good. Did I do my quote?
No.
Okay, my quote is, Ash saying, "So I'm the hero. Sounds good to me." Yep, that's it. That's all I got.
Okay.
This was a crazy episode. Let's never watch it ever again.
I know. This one was very weird. I don't know. I dislike it in the fact that it made me kind of do a 180 right there in the middle. Like, I'm really conflicted on whether I like or hate it, because I feel like the hero thing could be either the most unhinged or the most genius thing in an episode that we've had. Like, it's conflicting to me. I don't know.
I think this might be the episode of the Pokemon anime I remembered the least out of all of them that we've done so far.
And now you're going to remember it the most.
We'll see about that. I mean, I remember that Ladybug episode pretty well now.
Sweet!
But not the Ledigan episode.
Oh. God, what was her name again?
Oh, Ariel?
Ariel! I'm sorry. I know. If you're unfamiliar with Austin's one fan fiction, and if you know, you know. But right. Shout out to Mr. Douglas.
We're going to move forward now.
If you know, you know.
Next week's episode is the season finale of season 6 for Out of the Drying Pan.
Oh my God.
We might have a returning face.
Who could it be?
Someone we've mentioned on this podcast episode might make a comeback.
Is it Gary?
We'll see. Next week's episodes are A Poke Block Party and Watts with Watson.
Watts with Watson. Okay. Oh my God,
Watts,
I'm excited.
Watts with Watson.
I'm excited. Are you guys excited?
I am looking forward to your reaction to next week's episode. I'll just say that.
Is it going to be a positive or a negative interaction?
We'll find out in 7 days. That's a cliffhanger for you.
Okay. Oh.
Maybe we'll find out what Pokemon Megastar ships are. Who knows?
No. I can only take so many cliffhangers at one time, so I need some resolution, people. Any final thoughts, Austin?
I apologize for rushing through the Shiftry episode. I was talking too fast.
I know, you glossed over one of the most critical moments.
I should be shamed forever.
I know, shame. This is all about quality on this podcast. We are not about quantity, we're about quality.
That is patently untrue.
Oh, you know. I'm excited for next week. I'm eagerly anticipating the mystery character, as I hope you all are too. Thank you guys so much for listening. We always enjoy it. We enjoy your feedback. If you want to get in touch with us, you know how to do that. You can go to our Gmail and send us an email, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Or you can follow us over on Instagram or Blue Sky. We have both. Same handle @outofthedryingpan. Check us out. Follow us over there. You can also leave us a review. It really helps us out. Something algorithm. So leave us a 5-star rating. Leave us a review wherever you can. We super appreciate that. And of course, if you're so inclined, please check out our Patreon. If you like what we do, if you like this podcast, it helps us keep going. And as always, we want to say thank you guys so much for listening. And we hope to see you all next week as the journey continues.